Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Putin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider, and then we consider what you know of the news of the day. A month ago, the Perak State Government confirmed it was going ahead with a lanthanide mining project in Ulu Perak. Lanthanides comprise 15 chemical elements, commonly known as rare earth, and it's used to make electronics. Now, this project site is said to be within an ecological corridor connecting the Kenderung Forest Reserve and Bintang Hijau Forest Reserve, all part of the central forest spine, which allows wildlife to move from one forest complex to another. It's been classified as a rank 1 environmentally sensitive area and has been identified for conservation and protection. However, the Perak Menteri Besar Sharin Muhammad has denied that the mining project is located in the forest reserve. So joining us now to help bring some clarity over what's happening in Perak, we have Howard Lee. He is the assembly person for Pasir Pinji Perak, and he was formerly the state exco for youth, sports and human development. Howard, there seems to be quite a lot of confusion, a lack of clarity over this mining project, and there seems to be disputes over where the project is in the EIA, the Environmental Assessment Report, why that has been approved. Maybe you can begin our chat today by stating the facts as you understand it.
Thanks, Melissa. Thanks, Sharad, for inviting me. Indeed, the confusion is multitudinous, as you have mentioned. I think we must look at least from my own personal historical recall of the entire situation. And of course, it starts from when we were in government. And I must state, at no point and no juncture in which when PH was in the state government and I myself was in the state cabinet, did any form of approval for mining was ever made during our time. Subsequently, I can't say because I'm not partial to the decisions made in the state cabinet, but I categorically state here, no approvals were given nor discussed actually about approving whether the mining nor the setting up of a plant was ever agreed upon. Secondly, I made it very, very clear when there was once, roundabout, if I'm not mistaken, in November 2019, towards the tail end of our administration, that there was a briefing by Menteri Besar Incorporated Perak, there was the state SEDC, state SADC, and several other state agencies who were there to brief us. This was a briefing, it wasn't part of the cabinet meeting. There was a briefing that there is high levels of deposits of lanthanides, or as it was presented, NRRE, non-radioactive rare earth elements, in the tune of hundreds of billions worth, as it was a, I think I don't need to dwell on the fact that it is a commodity. And it started then, and at that particular juncture, I made it very, very clear, verbatim, under no circumstances must we and can we and will we, at least the DAP exos, approve of or even entertain anything to do with downstream downstream processing. Of course, we can't really talk about mining until we know for sure or not whether or not. And that was when there was an in principle agreement that some kind of research was to take place, and research nothing more than that. So it started there, and then the rest is basically we found out subsequently after we were no longer government that the research was continuing, and I myself on several state assembly sittings, three if I'm not mistaken prior to this, have continuously raised the updates on the so-called research. And it was in the last state assembly, I think it was in May, that it was stated, in March, that was stated that the SOP for the pilot had already been approved. And I state and stress that it was a pilot. Now, the question there lies, why on earth would anyone need a pilot to be conducted over 5,000 acres of land? That's the key question, and that's actually our key concern.
Okay, so Howard, can you help us understand the other dimension of the dispute, which is that that this land actually is ecologically sensitive, is marked out for preservation. The Menteri Besar seems to dispute this fact. Do we know where this is, and is he right or wrong about the location of the project in relation to these ecologically sensitive areas?
Indeed, the Menteri Besar actually stated that it's not on forestry land. Reserved forestry land. But I think one must realize that, especially in the context of the method of mining that has been slated, which is in situ leaching, as opposing to open cast, in situ leaching involves the drilling and or the pumping or the word leaching of highly sensitive or perhaps dangerous materials and liquids into what could potentially be water sources or what near to water sources. Now, once you go in, there's no coming back. So once you start pumping kind of acidic or basic stuff, which is liquid into water sources, then things get bad and ugly. And there are more than enough examples out there of the dangers of in situ leaching. And of course, even if the drill site, the 5,000 acres that has been mentioned approved, isn't part of a central spine forest or any form of reserve forest, one cannot, and one must be aware, and one cannot guarantee that the leaching and the drilling and the liquids that go in and the chemicals that go in wouldn't leak or leach into water sources. So I think that issue is actually academic. I think the larger issue at stake is why the secrecy, why the lack of real detailed, reporting by the state government to the people. And I remember very clearly that when I actually issued a statement when the issue of exploration, or at least the research to look into it back in 2019, that we were very, very open about it. But the fact is, why the current government, after having been approved, and then there was another layer of confusion that there was an EIA that wasn't there. And in fact, in the EIA report, EIA tracking part of the Department of Environment's website, it wasn't approved. And then suddenly it was approved, with the least amount of suspicion, there is definitely questions for or cause for concern.
I'm concerned about this term pilot project. It seems to denote, a test to see whether this is viable. But my concern is, will there be transparency and accountability to actually show whether it is not just commercially viable, but environmentally and sustainably sound? So how are you going to be keeping track of this pilot project? I mean, is there going to be any kind of checks and balances to see whether there might be any kind of radioactivity caused by the mining?
Well, truth be told, I have been tracking this entire thing from start, even from 2019. I think one must take into account the fact that if one was to tackle a question like this, there are three key elements. One is the developmental element of rare earth mining. The other one is economic or fiscal. The third one is environmental. And I would always put environmental first. Many have asked, especially in the context of our, I wouldn't use the word rejection, but our strong voice of concern in the State Assembly and outside, who's going to provide the raw materials and the rare earth to make batteries, to make, high-tech equipment? Are we going to deny economically the potentials of rare earth to pair out? I said, no. The key issue is we must know what's being done, how it's being done, whether it's open cast, whether it's in situ leaching, how far and how wide does the water sources go in terms of, where does the drilling and the leaching goes, and how far and why will it impact, the water of our state. Then only can we even look into the fiscal and the economic and developmental factors. Now,
Howard, I do want to ask you, there are trade-offs always, and we all understand that, right? But the question is, at this point in time, does the state government have any kind of principles or stated policies on the protection of the environment? that guides it? Or, I mean, is it all completely ad hoc? Is it just, you know, the decisions now centralized in the person of the Mantri Basa? How are decisions being made? I mean, exactly with now, regard to this stuff.
Yeah. Okay, structurally, the state has absolute right over decisions on whether to mine or not to mine, what to extract, and you know, whether or not to extract, how to sell and whom to sell to. But of course, one must know that, you know, all these EIAs, all these Department of Environment conditions that are set upon as caveats, all these are also federal jurisdictions. So there is definitely two levels of government that one that any form of mine, especially lanthanide or actinide or rare earth or radioactive or otherwise, two levels of government who will act as check and balance or make decisions. Now, if both levels of government are in cahoots to get things done, per se, quote unquote, then, you know, the government being a check and balance in itself, then, you know, that goes out the window. And of course, you've got these government agencies. With the government agencies, of course, they will set conditions, you know, high or low. It really depends on how great and how effective the lobbyists are. And let's not shy away from admitting the fact that the current government, at the very least, are very susceptible to the sweets put forward by lobbyists.
Right. Well, Howard, have you heard anything from the people of Perak, people who live there, who might be affected by it? Have you heard any of their concerns? Are they aware? Are they concerned?
Absolutely. It's not just people who live there. It's NGOs, it's CSO, it's environmental groups, international bodies, but also people as far as those who live in Menglembu, in Ipoh, where there is a very dark history of a rare earth processing plant that has caused huge furore and massive environmental depletion, environmental degradation in the general area where the processing plant actually had, chemical and radioactivity leaked into where people are living. Now, I think let's go back to the previous question. What we can do, what we must do now is at the very least push for full disclosure by the state government of indeed what the hell is going on and what has been approved. And, you know, questions as I put forward, why does a pilot require 5,000 something acres to be approved for this pilot? Number two, there is no such thing as pilot extraction without beneficiation. It means that what is being extracted in this 5,000 acres, is it being sold? Who is it being sold to? How is it being sold? At what level is royalty being provided or paid back, or tributary being paid back to the state? Is it sold? What conditions have been put upon, you know, the environmental conditions put upon activities right now? All these questions needs to be answered before anyone can comment further on anything, which is why, in principle, there must be a halt to what's going on right now.
Howard, thank you for joining us on the show tonight and shedding some light into this very important matter. Howard Lee, Assemblyperson for Pan Sepinji, Perak. We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This. We'll be back with more on this topic. Stay tuned. And good evening. Thank you so much for staying with Shraddha and I on Consider This. We're discussing the state, the Perak state government's decision to go ahead with what it's calling a pilot project for lanthanide mining in Hulu Perak. Joining us now is Mohd Shani Abdullah. He is the chairman of Sustainable Development Network Malaysia. Shani, the Menteri Besar of Perak, he's come out to deny that the lanthanide mining project is on permanent forest reserve land. In fact, he's saying, or he's clarified, that the project itself, the project site, is outside the central forest spine area. I'm wondering whether this in any way allays your concern over the project.
Even though the said proposal to mine is outside the Forest Reserve. As the project proponent, they were supposed to carry out plantation activities, not mining activities. So plantation, even though it's a high impact activity, it is not as bad as mining. So we cannot be hiding behind all kind of a rhetoric. It is a agricultural land, and so it's owned by a private entity, and so you are justifying a high impact activity on a highly sensitive class. I mean, rank one environmentally sensitive area. So we cannot be pushing the envelope to justify a very high impact full activity in a sensitive area.
Yeah, Shai, I want to ask you about process, because often politicians justifying these activities or decisions they've made, the development decisions they've made, often point to the environmental impact assessment process. That has itself come under a lot of scrutiny, because EIA seemed to justify all kinds of problematic projects across the country. Could you walk us through some of the processes that are involved in this particular issue that you think are dubious or that require some investigation?
There was actually an EIA done, and the decision by Department of Environment was to reject the proposal. So, we can refer, it's actually widely available, the EIA report. If we refer to the environmental sensitive area, it's located within environmental sensitive area rank one, based on the third National Physical Plan. It's actually a part of the central forest pine. To restore the forest, we have actually categorized, no, the forest. One of it is actually central forest pine. It is to interlink wildlife corridors so that we can rehabilitate the wildlife. So this location is part of the central forest pine, and it's a primary linkage number 8. And this area is related to Kenderung Forest Reserve and also Bintang Hijau Forest Reserve. Even though the privately owned land is a sort of alienated land, but they are also providing the conservation impact to the forest reserves. So
I could just ask you to address the EIA process. What do we understand about the process?
Okay, EIA process is to ensure whatever projects proposed do not harm the environment. So in the EIA process, all aspects of impact to the environment and also now social impacts are actually studied. In the end, actually, it's a cost-benefit analysis to justify whether the proposed project is justified by, you know, the benefit over the cost of the environment.
Well, Shani, there's a cost, there's an ecological cost, of course, but there's also what we've heard is, you know, the fact that this is a potential revenue stream of billions of ringgit. How can state governments, not just Perak, but other state governments who have to make this decision, balance those competing interests of having on one hand the possibility of billions of ringgit coming in through, this rare earth mining project versus the possibility of the ecological impact to a very sensitive central forest pine area?
again, we would like the state government to justify the billion. No, we are just putting the term billion dollar kind of a worth of mining. But often, if we actually study the revenue to the state and the infrastructure and the monitoring mechanisms put up by the government, I mean, actually, the state government has to justify in monetary terms whether it is, not to say viable, but it's actually, is it worth the cost involving the public funds? You know, the monitoring is actually it involves the public agencies. If we can actually relate to logging, we often see certain states, they obtain only like 2,000 ringgit per hectare against some states up to 15,000 ringgit per hectare. So, but there is no kind of a real value analysis whether the state makes a net benefit out of this revenue against the environmental impact to the communities around. So we are not actually costing the polluted water, flood impact, the losses incurred by the communities. These are not costed in. No, I mean, the project proponents are not charged on these losses or damages. So the state government has to be very clear about this. They must justify such claims of, you know, $1 billion revenue.
I want to ask you about this rare earth issue, because we, of course, have had many controversies surrounding rare earth. I mean, and mineral extraction. Para itself suffered, in the 80s, there was kind of iconic case, right? And then, of course, we've had, we saw how the east coast of Malaysia was scarred by bauxite mining and so on and so forth. What have we learned about government's responses to these controversies, all of which were justified, all these projects justified on the basis of economic growth and revenues for the state?
But often we never monetize the losses and the damage incurred by the communities. So if we, you know, why these industries are coming to Malaysia or third world countries, for example, the rare earth processing, it is mined in another country, that ore is brought to Malaysia to be refined. So meaning, the standards imposed by the originating country is not cost effective to process in those countries to comply with their standards. So our standards are not protecting the environment and also the interests of the communities around. That is clear cut. So, but we are actually justifying the opportunities of economy creation, jobs and all that, but still the communities are paying in the form of damages and also health impact.
Okay. Well, Shani, the Perak State Government says it will go ahead with this pilot project to see whether or not it's a feasible project, whether there might be any harmful radioactivity coming from the mining. What would you and your other environmentalists, activists, would like to see clarified or justified or explained by the state government? What would you like to see happen next?
I mean, my comment will be the Para MB is just trying his luck. You know, when for mining, you only do exploration. You can dig out cores of the salt sample or the salt sample, and you can analyze it in the laboratory. You do not actually do a pilot project of a very sensitive nature, then you claim, oh, it's viable or not viable. You can do it in laboratory. You can take the call and you can analyze whether the deposits are worth the effort to mine. But as I said, this is within a highly sensitive area. So that is our national policy. No, we have already categorized the location as rank one environmentally sensitive area. The state government has to answer for that. If we simply disregard such standard, there won't be end to other proposals in other locations.
Right. Shani, thank you for joining us on the show. That was Mohd Shani Abdullah from Sustainable Development Network Malaysia, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off the evening.
Thank you so much for watching and good night.